Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Shut up and sit down.
Here we go.
Would you kindly? I think we're just getting started.
Medic!
I'm a witcher.
I think this is more than you can handle.
He sits on his ass all day.
Let's do this.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 394 of your Overseas Connection podcast. We are a mature, gaming-friendly community, and it's October 29th, 2016. I am one of your hosts, Greg DeLacy, gamertag Murphy's Law. On Twitter, you can find me, OC_Murphy's Law. And we have a fine cast joining me today. On my right, Mr. Richard Webster.
Good evening, all. I was just on mute.
Rich, you have a fantastic-looking pumpkin right over your right shoulder on my side.
You cheeky bastard. That's the missus.
That's the missus. She's looking a little orange. Maybe she's taking after Donald Trump there.
Yeah, I like him unrealistic, you see.
Right.
Unrealistic expectations. So, like, her head comes off as well. You know. Just why not?
Again, as rumors go, same as Donald Trump.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to pile on Donald. He's had a rough go of it the past few weeks. Probably very deserving. But you know, hey, we don't do politics here. We do video games, right? Something like that.
Yeah, obviously. But it is interesting that Hillary's getting investigated again. It kind of says maybe they didn't do a proper job the first time round. Interesting.
You know what it really says. We have some of the most horrible choices ever in our country's history for our president.
Honest to God, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, so also on the show this week, before we dive into what's new and what's exciting, we have Mr. Mark Wright.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Yes, Mark Canix on Xbox Live, PSN, Steam, and Twitter. I'm a bit flustered tonight again.
We're all a little flustered. Yeah. I think Rich is the calmest out of the three of us. Yeah. Mark, you've been battling with OBS, with your computer settings, with the MacBook settings.
It's mainly the sound, getting the sound to work.
So, and I equally have been battling with some sound issues this week because I've got a new microphone off of an arm stand, and then I've got a new camera. So this was to try and alleviate the problem of my computer literally getting shut down because for some reason the previous update with Skype decided it did not want to work with my previous camera, and it literally killed. Anytime I tried to do video, it was shutting my computer down. So far, so good. And we'll see. But yeah, so there is, I think, a little bit of hiss maybe coming through. For the listeners, apologies on that. I'm working out the kinks on my end, and that's all I can say to that. Well, in the audio, you probably won't hear it because we're going to give Mark a nice, dead, quiet sound moment right now of like 2 seconds. One minor keystroke. But yeah, so podcast, video game talk. Also, fair warning. Everybody, fair warning, at the end of today's podcast, we're going to do a little Walking Dead talk.
Episode one
kicked off last week, and so we're going to do some spoiler talk. It'll come at the very end of the podcast, so fear not. We will give you plenty of warning, and we won't spoil anything up until then. Just know, we all three of us have seen this episode of The Walking Dead, and we are very much excited to talk about it. Rich, I don't think you were expecting this. This is something I kind of threw in at the last minute.
Honest to God, right? Spoiler alert, right? Spoilers, okay? I never thought Jon Snow would do a crossover with Walking Dead. It was amazing. Walkers are coming.
Yes.
Walkers are coming. Send a raven.
Talk about winter coming to the Walking Dead in a little bit. But for now, let's talk about what we've been doing this past week. we've all had kind of hectic lives, I believe. Mark, I know you've been working a lot.
Yeah, I've just been consoling myself all week after watching The Walking Dead. I've just been crying my eyes out every day. And
it was a happy episode. I don't get that. Yeah. We'll talk about that later, mind you.
I even woke up this morning, and for some reason my eyes all swollen, and people who have seen the episode will understand why. But it is genuinely swollen and infected, so I've got a dodgy eye. I'm not just taking the mickey.
Yeah, you're taking the mickey too. Yeah. And Mr. Webster, your work has been kind of nuts, I believe. I think you're starting back up school, if I'm not mistaken, as well. So you've been kind of on the crazy side.
Yeah, well, I went for me passport interview today, getting a new passport, and even the guy said, "What? How do you have spare time?" I was like, "Well, you know, between me and Her Majesty's government, you know, there isn't a lot left, really." But yeah, I'm doing my university, doing my websites, doing my games, doing my podcast, doing my actual job, doing my other job, and just, you know, it takes a lot to be, you know, a starlet.
It's a lot for you.
Basically, yeah. I'm like a starlet, honest to God. And I've got random light bulbs just lying around because I'm a bloke.
This is right here. This is a file. I snapped this in half last week. I'd like to say it was because I was watching The Walking Dead, but no, I just got angry.
Yeah.
So Halloween is coming up. I don't know if you guys know that I'm a big Halloween fan. I'm a huge
I think everyone in the US are, aren't they?
It's quite not a big everybody.
It's quite a big thing over there.
It definitely is a big thing. But it's not necessarily big with everybody. Mm. And while I like to consider myself the big Halloween fan, my wife is actually like twice the big Halloween fan that I am. And right now, she's outside actually setting up more Halloween decorations. The big plan is tomorrow is our big push to get everything out. But rain, which is a foreign thing in California, we don't get a lot of rain, but we've been getting plenty of it this past week. So it's kind of derailed some of our preparations. We are excited and ready to go.
I think the UK business enterprises are trying to capitalize on how popular it is in the US, and we're trying to make it similar over here, and the all the big supermarkets and everything are just pushing costumes, pumpkins, and all the party outfits and everything. So,
do you guys do anything for Halloween?
Nah, not really. I don't. No.
No. You open up the door and you punch kids in the face when they try and come get candy.
I'll just send Jenny. But think it's Monday, innit, this week, so I'll be at work. So I'm not even there. I'll be at work till 10 o'clock at night. All the little kids will be in bed then. Hopefully.
See, I like Halloween not to go trick-or-treating. I could care less about that. We buy enough candy. We always have some left over. I'll get candy. What I like Halloween for, I like scaring the shit out of people. And we always set up evil decorations. I get into full costume gear, and my intent is not just to scare the little kids, but I want to get some grown-ups. I want to scare some adults. That's the fun part.
Right. If you do that over here, you get arrested or you get done for assault.
We had a little bit of a kerfuffle this past year because I guess people took to dressing up as scary clowns.
Oh, yeah, it's all your fault because it's happened over here as well.
Apparently. What saddens me, it was our original plan this year was having a carnival theme. Scary clowns is a big part of what we're going to be doing. Yeah. So, I'm slightly nervous about what might happen Halloween night. Somebody freaking out over me being dressed up as a scary jester, but you know, I'm going to roll the dice.
Greg, yeah. Wear a stab vest.
It's probably a smart idea. I don't have any stab vests though. I do have tank tops, plenty, but they're not going to stop anything.
Well, take an AR with you then.
There you go. I will come armed and ready. All right. So outside of Halloween, outside of work, anything else you guys want to talk about before we dive into the business of the video games?
No, I'm happy to move straight into the games.
All right. Well, I suppose there is a couple little things. If you're listening to this right now, it's because you're watching us on Twitch. So, it, you know, if you're listening to the audio version, though, which will come out the day after, you can catch us live every Saturday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. UK, sorry, 6 p.m. Eastern. And in the UK, it's traditionally 11 o'clock. However, starting next week, while our time zones are off just a little bit, it'll be 10 p.m. UK. Is that correct, Mark?
Probably.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Somebody paying attention to the time zone. Come on.
We have to change our time. Don't you have to change to us?
Not next week, no. It's the week after for us.
Yeah.
Wait. No, I take it all back. We are on the same time zone this go round. We're changing next week as well. But you're changing this is the problem. You're changing tonight.
Yeah.
We change next week. So for a week, we'll be off. Yeah. So if the listeners are confused, that's okay. Because I'm confused. We're confused.
What I was getting at is, Greg, so us UK people have to accommodate you for your time zone. Is that what you're saying? We have to come an hour early. You can't come an hour later.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Fair enough. You're the boss. So 10 o'clock for the UK people. Next week only, 10 o'clock.
Yes.
Oh, just while we're talking about clock changes, I have done quite a smart thing because tomorrow I have saved myself a job. When the clocks went forward last spring, I didn't change the clock in the kitchen. So it's been an hour behind for a whole 6 months. So tomorrow I don't have to change that because tomorrow it'll be correct. How clever.
I like the spin on this, that I did a smart thing.
Yeah.
Hashtag lazy bastard. In a nutshell, right, you forgot to change the clock. And then you thought about 3 months in, I'm guessing you looked at it and you're like, it's only 3 months away now.
Yeah.
You've already gone 3 months. Might as well keep it.
Yeah, every time I look at it, I think, oh, can't be arsed. It's nearly there now.
All right. So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, outside of catching us on Twitch, which again, that URL is twitch.tv/OC podcast, you can also check out our Facebook group. That is fb.ocpod.com. And, you know, I'll give a quick shout out at the front of the show. We're going to talk about it at the end of the show as well. But Extra Life is coming up. A lot of the podcast crew, as well as the community of gamers that we play with, we're all going to be taking part in Extra Life this year. And so if you are so inclined to donate towards a really good cause, which is children in hospital wards that need a help getting a smile on their face, you can check us out on extralife.org. That's extra-life.org. And go on there and look up the vghub.net team, and you'll see all of us on there. And, of course, donate to whoever you feel like donating to, but please do donate. All right, video games. We've got through all of that. Let's talk about games we've been playing this past week. Why don't we just talk collectively about Battlefield 1? Because we've all played this together collectively. Yep. It was one of the big launches the past couple weeks. Rich, let's get your impression. What do you think?
I don't like jumping on hype too much, as you know. I'm quite a reserved guy. But I will say that it's probably the most amazing, best Battlefield game ever played ever, I think. I'll tell you what I love most about this Battlefield. I love the big, the airship and the battleship, and it's the Behemoth, the Dreadnought, and then what's the other one?
The train thing in it.
The armored train. Those things are fantastic, especially the Behemoth, the blimp. That's great. I think this Battlefield has gone back to, it's kind of got, for me, a little bit of a feel of Bad Company multiplayer. Everything seems to be more explosive. Everything seems to be a bit more visceral. I've noticed they've taken some destruction away, like not all the walls and stuff can blow up, but there is a lot more other things that actually get destruction, like have destruction. A tank can just drive right through a building now. It's amazing.
In fact, Mark, we practiced that in one of our online sessions. Yeah, it's interesting you bring that up, Rich, because I do feel like this game more so than the previous Battlefields, has better destruction, you know, on par with what we saw in the Bad Company games. But they have left, you know, like, you can't completely bring a building down. There'll always be a little bit standing that could be cover, whatever you want to call it. But it definitely has much more of that. You can't just run into a building to be safe.
Yeah.
That definitely is not a tactic you can use. And for whatever reason, I even though, you know, and I think it's a fair criticism that I think the guns they put in this game, I mean, there's a lot more automatic weapons than I ever thought there would be.
Yeah, I thought
for a World War I game. However, that being said, I like them. I like the feel of the guns. I think they handle well, and they feel relatively appropriate to the time frame. So I'm kind of okay with it. I don't really freak out over the automatic weapons. I still prefer some of the single shot guns anyway.
Mm. Just to touch on what you just said, I think one of the big things I noticed about this Battlefield against Battlefield 4 is I don't really like the machine gun weapons as much, despite what you just said. I like them for the same reasons, but what I found was a lot of the machine guns aren't very good from medium to long range at all.
100%.
You know, in Battlefield 4, you could get away with like the submachine guns at sort of medium distance, but in this game, they just don't work. Close up, I mean, they're fantastic and that, and I think that's where the single shot rifles come into play, medium to long distance. The machine guns, if you're trying to run around a machine gun and it's an open map, like the one that looks like it's on the side of a mountain and it's got like bunkers, you will get killed on that map if you're trying to run with a little machine gun because it's just too much open space.
Yeah.
What about you, Mark? Where do you line up on the guns and shit?
I don't normally play as a sniper class in these games, but I think the snipers in Battlefield 1 are superb. I love playing as a sniper. Mm. Even with the base sniper rifle you get when you get start off, before you unlock all the better ones, even that is pretty decent. Mm. I've popped a few long shot headshots, and it's really satisfying.
Yeah.
I like the assault now and again if you're doing close quarters. Like you say, the machine guns and the submachine guns, you do need to be quite close to them to be accurate. Mm-hmm. But my favourite weapon is the... I like playing as a medic class, and there's... I can't remember the name of it. I'm going to ruin the name of it. It's Steblaster or something. And I use a marksman optic on it, so it's 4x optical. And it's a single shot. Or you can use multi-shot if you want, but I always have it in single shot. And 3 shots of that, and they put them down. So... Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that.
Yeah.
The first time I saw the behemoth, when that has been destroyed and it comes down in a ball of flames, that is so spectacular to see.
It's so good. It's just amazing. And the wreckage stays there as well.
Yeah.
I was just running around on a horse, just going around the wreckage on this one map. I mean, I let the whole team down, obviously, by doing that. But it was just amazing because especially if you like take part in taking it down, I tell you what, lads, if you've not tried them yet, those anti-air guns are fantastic against anything. They're probably going to get patched and nerfed a little bit, but anti-air guns, you know, when you like stationary ones, they're fantastic, and they take those blimps down massively. If you're in a little plane as well, I don't know if you've noticed this. I love this about this Battlefield now. In the old Battlefields, there was like 6 different tanks on the like main base or whatever. And then you'd have to wait for one to spawn, the one you wanted. You know what I mean? You'd have like the big one or whatever. Now you pick what one you want when you spawn in it, don't you? So you'll when there's a tank available, you click it to spawn on it, and then you can pick one of 3 tanks to be. And you can do the same with the planes as well, if you notice that. There's 3 different planes you can go from when you pick a plane.
I didn't know that, to be honest.
Yeah, so you've got the normal fighter plane, which is like you've got like a guy on the front. Then, or you could choose a bomber.
Yeah,
or you could choose like an agile plane. You know, the agile plane might actually be the fighter. I'm not sure, but basically, the agile plane, which is the third one, is faster than all the other planes, which is a little bit annoying if you're in a dogfight because sometimes you'll actually fly past the guy that you're shooting at. But it's proper aerodynamic. It maneuvers massively well everywhere. It's got a cool machine gun just on the front. It's got like 2 machine guns next to each other. So, yeah, when you're spawning on these vehicles, planes or tanks, when you click it and click spawn, Well, when you click it and like it allows it that down the bottom of the map, near the bottom of the map, there'll be like three icons.
Yeah, I've seen the icon. I thought that was just what was available because I've not really been in the planes much, but my son likes going in planes. He likes the bomber, and he'll get in the bomber, and he'll, especially at the start of a match, and he'll fly over to the first conquest flag on their side,
where they all go,
and bomb the shit out of it. And the amount of times that's happened to me as well. The bomber comes over, you just see grenade symbols everywhere, and you think, oh dear, I'm dead. And there's no what you can do, and that's it.
So Battlefield tip number one that we can give out tonight is don't run to the first spawn point as soon as the game match starts.
Yeah. Unless you don't hear any aeroplanes overhead.
True.
Yeah. Have you been in the Dreadnought yet? The battleship?
No, I've done the tank. I'm sorry, I've done the train and the blimp, but I've not done the Dreadnought yet.
Okay, the best gun in the train is the one that does a 360. Some of the guns don't do 360. The one that does 360 is the best. I've not been in the blimp myself yet, but I've been attacking the blimp on about five different, maybe six games. But the Dreadnought, right? Have you used mortars yet in this game?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, so in the Dreadnought...
Use the field coastal cannons.
Yeah, in the Dreadnought, it's like the mortar, so you'll basically get, like, the map will come up. And then you'll select where you want to shoot, and then you fire, and then it shoots like four bombs or whatever, like artillery. So that's what the Dreadnought one of the Dreadnought things is, and it's just class. And here's a tip for anyone, right? So far, I mean, people might cotton on, but our Dreadnought was getting slaughtered, right? It pisses me off, right? When we get the fucking massive machine, and then it gets battered. It's ridiculous. There is no reason why we shouldn't win. Right. I'll just throw this out there as well. I've also never been in a game where we've lost by a massive majority or won by a majority. There's always at least 100 points, which is good because in other battlefields, you get like massive like disparity. My tip for the Dreadnought is boats, right? Enemy boats will be shooting your Dreadnought, but those boats won't be looking for your little boats. So I was on this map and our Dreadnought was getting slaughtered everywhere. I was like, this has only been here two fucking minutes. What's going on? It's half on fire. So I get in one of our little boats and go out and there's two or three little boats shooting our Dreadnought. So I just laid them out. I just switched guns to the like F2, switched to the gun, and just kill all three boats. They didn't stand the chance. I squad wiped like two squads. So if your Dreadnought's getting kicked, just go after the boat shooting your Dreadnought. But yeah, the Dreadnought is amazing. I think the reason why I like this, and it's a little bit buggy, to be fair. Some of the things are a little bit dodgy. But the reason I like it is because it turns the game. No longer will it be one of those games where, like, your team's doing shit and they're doing, like, 800 points more and then there's nothing you can do. Or those games where they've pushed you so far back, you're literally just in your home base and they're just base raping you. There's nothing you can do. These are designed so that it can turn the game.
Yeah.
And very rarely it doesn't turn the game. It only doesn't turn the game if the team's shit. But what annoyed me in this game I was playing with my brother the other night was... Both teams were at 500-ish points. We were at 550. They were at about 510. They had four flags. We had two flags. And they got it. They got like the armored train or whatever it was.
Because they were behind on points.
Yeah, but it was only about 30 points.
Yeah.
And then we got smoked. And so So I think it's just one of them things where, especially that map that we were on, it's the jungle map where there's a train line going right through the middle.
And the trains, it always parks on the flag on the bridge.
If you've got a team that's good on that map with the train and that, you can't lose because that train's just immense. But yeah, I think it needs working out. I think it should be rarer or at least more disparity needs to be there because if you're up by just 30 points, there's no reason why you need that train. The train might not even change the outcome. Do you know what I mean?
There should be a minimum of 100, 150 points, shouldn't there, before you're allowed that behemoth thing.
Yeah, because you don't always need it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You only need it really when it's like, shit, they're on 600, we're on 300. What's going on?
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, armored train is approaching. Okay, grenade on the floor. Let's die quick. Let's die so we can spawn in the train. It's like a rush. But yeah, what else are you enjoying about this battlefield compared to the other ones? Because we've had a few battlefields now.
Well, so that's a perfect segue for what I wanted to talk about. Mark, I'm going to assume this might be a similar topic for you, but so Battlefield as a series has traditionally been pretty much garbage when it comes to the single player games. They're always chasing the tail of Call of Duty, it seems. And they feel uninspired. They don't have the kind of character building, or just the characters themselves just were never terribly interesting to me. So outside of Bad Company, I should say Bad Company is probably the one exclusion to this rant. And this game, Battlefield 1, I think has finally got the single player game right for the Battlefield series. And if you think about what Battlefield really has always been about, it's not been about named heroes. It's not been about one particular character. Battlefield is kind of about being a soldier in the army, being a, you know, part of this bigger war. And this go around, the single player campaign focuses in on just a lot of different cogs in the war, as opposed to, you know, these kind of hero characters like, you know, Call of Duty. You have these kind of super soldier characters that are your primary characters. You follow through, you get attached to them. But in Battlefield, I feel like, you know, we're following the everyday soldier. We're getting behind these characters that are believable, and they're really well done. And I just am very impressed. I have to say, this has been a pleasant surprise. I didn't come in with high expectations, and so far, it has delivered a fantastic single player campaign.
Mate, I completely agree, right? I've never really touched Battlefield's campaigns. The only one really was Battlefield 3, and that was because it was like new graphics, new gen. I was forced to play the single player on release day because the servers were off, right? So right. I was a little bit disappointed. So I started the game, and because the servers were off, as soon as you start the game, it just jumps you in single player. It doesn't even give you the option. And I don't want to use the word because it's a big word to use, but I was amazed in the first level how they present it, and the switch between the characters and stuff. And it's like is it spoiler to say the first mission?
First mission, kind of depending upon how you look at it, but yeah, I'm assuming you're talking about the tank mission.
No, the first like introductory mission before you go.
Let's talk about that. Okay. It's been talked about enough. I don't think that's really a spoiler.
Okay, so the first mission is just an introductory one into how the game's played, what the war is.
It's a tutorial. It's a tutorial mission.
It starts off, right, and I was watching the screen. It said, like, 1914, you know, this is the war to end all wars. And then it comes up on the screen. It says, you are about to experience frontline combat. You are not expected to survive. And I thought, oh, that's just game hyperbole, you know. It's going to be a game. And no, they throw so many people at you. Eventually you run out of bullets and you die. And I was like, fucking hell, I just died on the first mission. But then it comes up like Mark Rogers, 1889 to 1914. I was like, wow. Right. And then it switches to another character with a completely different gun. And it's like, and then you die with him. And then it's like his death. And I just thought the way they presented it was just really tasteful, but amazing.
Yeah. It really is. It's so appropriate for the content that you're playing. You know, World War I was a war that was about throwing numbers to try and win. I mean, you threw masses of enemy soldiers or your allied soldiers at the problem. And that was kind of why it was such a costly war, because we had this onset of technology. We really were perfecting the way we were able to kill people. We invented these different types of weapons, mustard gas, explosives, tanks. The machine guns really came into their own in World War I as well. But the tactics of the army still were the same. I mean, we had trenches. We had people lining up in these, you know, along the trenches, and they would just charge. You know, that was how you fought the war. And so it's kind of funny to hear some people, some of the criticisms, if you will, of, you know, oh, in World War I, you know, it's totally not right because, you know, they're not taking cover, whatever. You didn't do that in World War I. In World War I, you just ran forward. You know, you charged the trench. You charged the machine gun nest. Because if you didn't, the officers that were behind you would shoot you for treason or cowardice. And that was the way they kept soldiers in line as well. I mean, it was just a brutal war. And the single player definitely emulates that really, really well.
Yeah, the first actual mission as well it really gets you to care about this character. Like in the that moment towards the end of the first part of the mission, it's just, I don't know, it just remind it. It's basically like Fury meets Saving Private Ryan, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing. And I was quite surprised about the pigeon, I will say. I was quite surprised.
I would just like to also point out, what a shitty way to try and rely on getting a fire mission sent.
I know, yeah.
Hope our bird makes it back to the base.
it just shows you the times. Like, we're relying on this bird to save our lives, save the war. But you've seen how easy it is, you know, flash your light over there. Oh, what's going over there? Oh, no, over there. Oh. And there's even a multiplayer game, which I haven't played yet. It's called War Pigeons. I've not played it, but I'm going to try it out because I think it might be hilarious.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Mark, anything you want to add in on Battlefield 1?
Very unlike me, I have not touched the single player. I've been hooked on the multiplayer. And normally I always play the single player first before I touch a multiplayer, but no, I've just jumped straight in the multiplayer. But yeah, I'm just loving it. It's really good fun.
It is good. It is definitely good. We're kind of in a special time, by the way. You know, we're going to talk about a few other games. This has been an unusually good stretch. I'd say probably 3-4 weeks of some really quality games coming out holiday time frame. And I can honestly say there are at least 3 games, you know, within the month of October that are legitimately going to probably get some of my focus for when I'm thinking about what was my favorite game this year. There's 2 others that are outside of that time period for me, but it's been pretty amazing. And you know, and I'm still actually really curious to see what Call of Duty does. I don't plan on buying that one, at least not yet. But I don't know. I will say that reveal trailer kind of hooked me a little bit, and I was really curious. But there's other games that I was more curious about. We'll talk about that shortly. So I think we can wrap up Battlefield 1. If you like Battlefield, I think you will really like this game. If you have always been kind of so-so on Battlefield because you really like campaign-driven games and you didn't enjoy previous Battlefield games, man, I would say give this a shot because the campaign in this game is fantastic. And it's not a short campaign. It's done very well. It's got some good length to it, at least you know, so far from what I've played. So
and there's
– sorry. Go on.
The audio in it is like all Battlefield games. The audio is superb, but visually, this game is one of the most visual experiences I've seen on the Xbox One. To see this in 4K on a PC, I would love to see that because, like Richard was on about, the map with the hillside with the grass and the rocks, it looks realistic. It looks like someone's taking a photograph and you're playing on the photograph. It's so realistic. The graphics are just absolutely outstanding on this game.
Can I just jump in? Me and our Danny were playing it, right? Me and our Danny have climbed Snowdon about 3 times, right? We said this is like Snowdon. It's like a Welsh hill. There's grass. Yeah. There's these rocks sticking out. It's like being in Wales. Yeah. It's in like Hungary or something, but it's exactly like Wales. It reminded us so much. Yeah. I'll tell you what, right? I know this isn't really the audience that would have to hear this because anyone who's a massive Battlefield fan will be playing this. But for me, I feel like this Battlefield, the multiplayer, because it's almost like where did it go after 3 and 4 because they were so similar, and bringing it back into the World War I as well, which is further back than almost any other game's ever done. They've taken, I think, the best parts of Bad Company 2, which I think was the best one, probably of that, for multiplayer, of that kind of era, I think. Bad Company 2 had it sort of there. So they've taken the feeling of Bad Company 2, and they've taken some of the authenticity from 1942 and 1943, and they've just sort of mixed it together with they've kind of modernized an old recipe, if that makes sense. And one last thing I'll say on Battlefield, because we could go on all night, I think, about Battlefield, to be honest. I could, for sure. I love now how all the characters in multiplayer say stuff all the time. They're always saying stuff. Hey, thanks, medic. You know, they're always talking. Grenade! You know, I know they did that already, but they do that so much now. It makes you really get in there. It makes it like almost you don't need Stone Mountain 64 anymore because they're all like that.
Yeah. Well, and I would say also that the stuff that they're saying is relevant. it's kind of a weird way to say it, but I mean, in previous multiplayer games, when you've had dialogue in the multiplayer, oftentimes it kind of sometimes doesn't make sense. It seems a little repetitive. It doesn't have necessarily context for you, the player. But in Battlefield 1, and I think a lot of games actually have been pretty good about this of late, that when they do give them dialogue, they're actually like contextual. It's like it makes mm-hmm. sense in the setting. They're calling out enemy soldiers in front of you, or the locations of them, and so you're getting that kind of dialogue, and it's just like you said, Rich, it really immerses you better into the moment.
They'll even shout out, thanks for the ammo clip, or thanks for the bandages right. and stuff.
Yeah, they'll do all that. And I think what it does is, because people are speaking on the mic less and less these days, and it creates that team thing, doesn't it?
Oh, that's a good point.
This is the Battlefield as well. Ever since 2142, right? They've been pushing squad and teamwork. Battlefield 2 had squads and all that, but no reward for working as a squad. Since 2142, they've been giving you more and more rewards now for working as a squad. When you're in your squad and you're doing lots of stuff, there's more rewards now than ever before. But working together as a team, and then the guys are talking back and forth, you know, thanks for the ammo, oh, I need ammo, you know, that flag's getting taken.
Right.
Just the AI saying those things, it just really adds to it and makes it a much better experience, doesn't it?
So, quick question for you guys then. How many battle packs have you had then? So, at the end of a round, it randomly picks about, what, is it 10 people out of the 64 to receive a battle pack? Have you guys had any battle pack drops? I think I've had three.
Yeah. I've had two.
Yeah.
I'm rank 16, I think, and I've had two.
I wouldn't mind seeing them up that a little bit. And I think this actually... there's multiple games that can use a little bit of buffing when it comes to this kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know Gears of War 4 also kind of suffers a little bit through some of that.
What I would say, though, is the battle packs, they are all cosmetic. They're not...
Right.
You don't get an advantage anymore. They're not weapons. They're not attachments. You buy them with your war bonds, which you get for leveling up. So the battle packs, they're not an advantage to playing. The only thing I want out of the battle packs, which I haven't got yet, is XP boosters, but I haven't got any of them yet.
I've still got about fucking 25 of them sat in my Battlefield 4, because you get so many, don't you?
Yeah.
Nearly every battle pack has got like a 25% boost in it.
Yeah, I've not seen one on this one yet.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, moving from Battlefield 1 to another game that is familiar yet old and new all in the same breath, Rich. Let's talk Skyrim Special Edition.
Okay.
I mean, I know we've talked about Skyrim before, but I think maybe what probably we need to know is what makes this different. You know, obviously the story isn't really changing, but maybe they've added some content as part of the package.
It's Skyrim Legendary Edition. So it's the it's Dawnguard, Hearthfire, Dragonborn, all included. They've increased the graphical ability of the game. It now looks nicer. It's got more foliage. They've upped the res of the textures. So console players will get a much higher resolution than they had in the last one. The lighting and shadows, this is the biggest thing cosmetically. The lighting and shadows has been redone. It's more or less the same system from Fallout 4. So the shadows look much nicer. The lighting's much nicer. Some people don't like the new lighting system because it makes it a little bit more brighter and slightly more vibrant, which takes away from this is a cold, harsh, grey, dull place. I think it looks fine. It makes for some really nice vistas. The main thing I think for you guys is that you got quite a bad version of Skyrim on the last gen because it was only 360 and PS3. And it was like 720p, 30 frames per second. Graphics weren't really that good even for that time. PC, not so much because we had, 1080, 60 frames and all that, but we got mods as well. The mod textures are better than this version of the game. So my modded Skyrim looks, texture-wise, looks nicer than the new one. But what they've done is they've put a little bit more detail, I think, into some of the textures. I think foliage looks a bit better. The big takeaway for you guys is... if you wanted to play Skyrim with an aesthetic that was like Fallout 4 with modern effects, then this is the thing. And it's cheaper as well. I've noticed it's only $34.99 for PS4.
Okay.
It's not. What, the new Skyrim?
It's $34.99 on Amazon Prime.
Ah, right, yeah. Digitally, it's 50 bloody quid.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's how they stiff you. So basically, guys, well, this...
Gears is only 40 quid, 42 quid. Gears 4.
If you liked Skyrim and you want to play it on your nice, you know, nice TV, on your nice new console, then do it, because there isn't going to be a better game than Skyrim, I don't think, this gen, other than The Witcher 3, for this specific scratch. I don't think you got, there isn't, no one else makes games like this. Do you know what I mean? CD Projekt Red, yeah. They touch on it slightly, but they have their own like Eastern European influences and culture. So they have their, like, it's basically like the Gothica series, but like ramped up. The main takeaway for me, being the PC gamer with all the mods and all that, is this game on PC runs much, much, much better than the original game in terms of stability, frame rates and all that sort of stuff, because the Skyrim engine was quite old when it was released and a lot of people were complaining about it. So
yeah, on the PS3, it run like a piece of shit, didn't it, apparently?
It struggled on the PS3. Now, I'm assuming they've fixed that for PS4?
I'm assuming that, because I've not seen anything about it, and usually that'd be the first thing people complain about.
I do know the one knock, and so this is... It's a Sony Bethesda thing. The mods, so Skyrim does, the special edition, I believe, does get mod support on the consoles. But again, Sony's placed some kind of weird limitations on what the mods can be. And so I think that there is a limitation to what you'll see in terms of number of mods for the PlayStation version.
Yeah, the technical details of it are basically Sony don't want anybody to have new assets added to the game, so you won't get new armors, new weapons, anything that's got a new texture or a new model, they don't want to see. So you'll only get like coding mods or, you know, mods add spells.
Interesting. Do you think this potentially is fallout from the PS4 Pro coming out? Because I know Sony has this kind of weird limitation that you can't, for the PS4 Pro, the Pro cannot get any content that can't be on the PS4 version, but it can be, you know, you can give better texture detail, but the content has to be the same, right? So if you're going to put a sword on the PS4 Pro version, the sword has to show up on the the normal PS version, but you could have better texture work on the PS4 Pro. But I'm wondering if they put this, maybe some of these limitations in on the Skyrim mods because they're afraid that somebody's going to release a mod that can only run on the PS4 Pro and couldn't run on the PS4. I mean, that's pure speculation on my part, but I'm just wondering if that's maybe part of what they're doing.
That in itself could be likely, because if you've got a really detailed high polygonal model, and you've got lots of them, that'll add a strain on your frame rate. A really, really high res, like an 8K res texture, which exists. People have like 8K res textures. That might do it. But I think, personally, I think it comes down to people will have Witcher 3 armor, you know, Gears of War armor, whatever, copyright infringement stuff. And Sony probably don't want to get involved in that. For risk of being involved in a lawsuit. And also, I mean, I don't really want to say this because they're Japanese and Japanese people love porn. I'm sorry, I'm not racist, but that seems to be, you know, they love all that stuff, tits and all that, dead or alive, jiggly boobs. But it could be because they don't want nude shit as well, you know, like all these sex mods and all that stuff. So it could be that. They are allowing you like scripts and things like that. So you, as far as I know, I think you'll get scripts. So you'll get the best mods. Like you'll get like your Frostfall type mods and stuff, but you won't get like, here's 100 new armor sets or here's 100 new weapons. But the main thing for this, I mean, it's good for you guys. Like I said, it's good for you because you didn't have a decent version of Skyrim and this is going to be the best one. When I say it runs better on PC, I really mean it. Like, they've taken away, because they've redone the lighting and shadow engine and all that stuff, that now has a much lower impact on your frame rate than it used to. Because, like I said before, the engine was quite old. Even if you throw a lot of power on it, it's still, there was still a barrier you couldn't really hit, because it wasn't like native 64-bit and all that as well. There was a struggle there. Whereas now, I switched it on, everything ultra, 1080p, solid 60 the whole time. And it stutters a lot less as well in Skyrim and like Oblivion and that. There's all this load stutter when you're going into like new grids. It does that way less as well. It's just for PC owners, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you go to the top of the steps in Whiterun and look down, your frames won't drop anymore. Whereas before, because it was like CPU intensive area and all the shadows and all that, you'd drop like 10, 15 frames, even on like a 970. Now it doesn't even move. Top of the steps, Whiterun, that's where people, like when Skyrim was released, they were taking all the screenshots.
Top of the steps, Whiterun. That's where you get your money. That's the money shot.
That's where whether you know your PC goes in the bin or gets a blowjob.
Okay. All right. Well, so Skyrim Special Edition. It is good, but we already knew Skyrim was good. So it's more good, right?
It's just more fantastic stuff. I know it's probably not going to be as good for shooter fans as the next game you're going to play. Massive segue. I'm gonna take a 2-minute break.
Fair enough. You take a 2-minute break. Mark, I think we can. We don't have to talk about my XCOM 2 exploits, other than the fact that I'm pretty sure I'm going to lose my game. I've gotten to this point where I see the writing on the wall. I'm just kind of delaying the inevitable at this point. So I made some critical errors early on, but man, that game, I really cannot recommend XCOM 2 enough. To those strategy fans out there that like that kind of game. But it is tough. And the enemy, there are moments where you're just going to just want to scream. All said and done. The real game we need to talk about right now is Titanfall 2. Actually, before we do that, Mark, real quick, can you give some shout outs? I know we have some people in the chat. I've been seeing some comments back and forth. Womble had me laughing a second ago.
We've got quite a few people in there at the moment. We've got Martin One, Neasy Does It, Teflon 12, Womble's in there. We've got Soul Brother in there. There's me and Rich in there. And you're actually visiting the chat for the first time?
I am. I normally don't visit the chat while I'm hosting. Often because I'm also running the OBS, but because tonight I don't have to do that, I've been keeping an eye, watchful eye. So, Titanfall 2, though.
Titanfall 2, yeah.
Yeah, let's talk about it. What a disappointing game. I think we all can just agree this was okay, I'm totally kidding.
This is Titanfall 1. On a massive fucking injection of steroids. It is fucking brilliant. I love it. Yeah. I really do.
Let's take it in two sections, Mark. Let's talk about, which I don't know if you've played single player yet or not, but they have a campaign.
Yeah, and apparently it's quite good. Again, like Battlefield 1, I've jumped straight into the multiplayer.
I'll talk to the campaign, and I won't talk a lot about it because I haven't gotten terribly far in the campaign myself. Other to say, it doesn't quite remind me of Call of Duty completely, but you definitely get some of the same vibes of a Call of Duty campaign.
You got that Infinity Ward staple, have you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Respawn, let's face it. They are, built out of the ashes of Infinity Ward and Call of Duty. So they definitely have done some similar things. But the campaign itself, it looks visually great. It has a nice pace to it. I will just say it's a really welcome addition. I didn't feel like I needed a campaign after I played enough Titanfall last go round because, I guess maybe I kind of gave up on the notion of getting a campaign with it. I realized that it really was just a multiplayer game. But this is a proper campaign. It's got the story bits. It's got cutscenes. It really does a good job of getting you into the universe of being a pilot and being part of this this relationship with your robot. I mean, that's really the best way to put it. You know, it helps you form that relationship with your Titan. And it is a nice primer for anybody that hasn't played Titanfall, the first one. This is an excellent way to get into it. But the real meat and potatoes of this game, away from the campaign, is the multiplayer. Yeah. And they have done, you know, a lot of big changes, a lot of subtle changes. And I know that's kind of glossing over a lot of it, so we can talk about the details to it. But, you know, I guess the first thing that I noticed with the campaign – or sorry, the multiplayer was there's a lot of loadout variation, much more than the first game.
Yeah.
So all the there's also multiple different weapon types in the same class. So you have different types of machine guns. You have different types of assault rifles. Where I want to say, as I think back to the first game, wasn't it like one or two guns of each
one or
type?
Two, yeah. Two of the most, yeah. There's a lot more variety of weapons now. And what I like about this new version is your guns level up as well as you do, which I think is a bit of a – I've not really played the recent Call of Duties, but isn't that a trait from them? Don't their guns level up?
I think so.
Yeah,
so maybe somebody in the chat tell us if we're right or wrong.
So as well as you leveling up, your guns level up, your Titan levels up, and then you unlock different things like a hollow point sights or a different skin for your weapon or your Titan. You can unlock different countermeasures for your Titan. There's so much going off when you finish a game. You've got all these bars going up as you level each different item.
Right.
And it makes it more rewarding.
Well, yeah. And you touched on one thing also that was very different from the first game, which is skins. And I know that sounds very simplistic. Like I remember Titanfall 1, I thought, why the hell don't they have skins? As you know, being able to deck out our Titans in different, you know, camouflage, that kind of thing. And this one, they have it in spades, and they've got a ton of different skins. In fact, for playing Battlefield 1, there is a Red Baron skin that you can put on the first basic Titan. I forgot what its name is.
Ion one.
The Ion. Yeah, and it looks badass.
Yeah.
It's the Red Baron skin. Red Baron skin. It looks fantastic.
If you played Battlefield 1, you get the Red Baron skin, don't you?
Yep.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you can skin your Titans. You can skin the weapons on the Titans. In fact, you can do that for your soldiers as well. So a lot more variation. But let's get into the gameplay. Because that really is that's the meat of this, right?
Yeah, the parkour to me seems a bit more fluid than Titanfall 1. It was great in the first game, but I find wall running and then carrying on running after and going up, I find that a little bit more fluid. There's a new mechanic where you can slide now. So you can be going along and you press the B button and you'll go into a slide. And while you're sliding, you can pop people with the weapons, and that's really cool and satisfying. Because there are parts of it where there's like little gaps, and you can slide through them.
And I don't know if you've noticed or not. And maybe I'm mistaken here, but it seems like when you go into a slide, so if you're sprinting and you go into a slide, I find it actually gives you a little bit of a slight speed boost.
When you've gone under your thing or what. Only if you press the sprint button to carry on. Otherwise, I find you come to a slow stop and to walking speed.
Yeah. I've been using it as an escape maneuver. So a few different times I've walked around the corner and been greeted by an enemy Titan or something to that effect. And so I've had to hightail it out of there. I find that, doing the sprint, jumping over some, to get into an area and then just doing a quick slide just gets me around that corner just a hair faster, and that can be the difference between living and dying.
The Titans are different. There's more of them.
There's six now, I believe. Yes.
Six, yeah. And you can unlock them with your credits if you want to unlock them early, or you can unlock them as you progress, as you level up. The thing I like about the Titans this time around is when you rodeo them, you can pull out their battery.
Right.
And then what you can do with that battery is then if you've got a friendly Titan on the battlefield, which his health is not at full, you jump on that friendly Titan, you will put that new battery into the Titan and it will give it quite a big amount of health back.
Right.
So there's quite a bit of teamwork involved there.
And it also makes the other Titan that you stole it from
more vulnerable.
I think it drops their shields completely, so that's just their health at that point.
Yeah. And because I mentioned earlier that you can level up your Titans individually, it's given a new dynamic to them as well, because the electronic smoke countermeasure now is built in a standard on all the Titans, and it's on a timer. So after you've played it, after you've been in your Titan for so long, you'll get a message saying your countermeasure is available. So now your unlocks, you've got extra countermeasures where you get two of them, where you can have extra stuff. And it gives you more variety of your unlocks. There's a new thing now where you can blast something out of your chest. Iron One's got a laser beam comes out. Scorch, I like Scorch. That's the second Titan. That's more of a heavy. It's slower. Right. Less maneuverable, but it's stronger, and all its weapons are like flame based. So the Scorch one has got a massive flame coming out of it. So they're just really, really cool. Have you unlocked any of the Titans yet, Greg? Or are you just on the first one?
I have not. I've been focusing in on the pilot stuff and unlocking weapons that I like.
I've noticed that the Titans now, you can't change the primary weapon.
No, they are locked to the Titans. Yeah,
which I like that.
I do like it. There's probably arguments that go in both different ways on it. But it seems to me it creates a little bit of a layer of strategy. You can't just equip one Titan and any type of weapon.
Yeah.
So it forces you, depending upon what you're looking to do. I mean, you know, again, it'll force you to use different Titans for for who you're facing.
So one of the new Titans I've played recently, which I really like, and I'm just trying to get the name of it up because I've forgotten the name of it.
The real nimble one.
Right, yep. It's called Ronin, and it's the nimble one. It's not as strong as the others, but it's really fast maneuverable, and it has a fucking sword.
Right, so but he also, I think he also gets the ability as one of his unlocks to teleport.
All right, okay. I've not seen that yet. Yeah.
And it's a fucking asshole when it does this, let me tell you.
Right. This Ronin, the bit I had of it, and I think I captured it on the record that, we won the round, so the enemy was going away in the dropship. Three of them got into the dropship, and I got up to the dropship with Ronin, and I just battered fuck out of it with his sword, and it blew the dropship up after about six swipes. Oh, it was just so nice, yeah.
Okay.
He just killed three people and the dropship, and that was it.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be skilled with that Titan because it does not have the health, so it can get dropped too quick.
Yeah, but can get destroyed pretty damn
quick. Let me tell you, that teleport ability, just it mind messes with me. I mean, I've only faced up against one of those with the teleport ability, you know, once, and I actually was a ground soldier at the time, and I had pulled out my... not the rocket launcher, but the laser weapon. And I was firing in on it, and I had it down to like just one bar of health left. He was trying to figure out where I was. And suddenly it's just like, poof, he disappears. And he reappears like right in front of where I'm at. And I got squashed.
Yeah.
It's not happy, but, it is an amazing game. I have to say everything I've played so far, I really, really like. I also will say, the different environments feel varied.
I was just going to say, I like the maps. What I like about this is in the first Titanfall, if you were a pilot against Titans, you didn't stand much of a chance. There wasn't that much places you could go for cover. There was a bit, but in this game, it seems a lot more places to hide as a pilot if there's a lot of Titans running around.
Yeah. I would also say that, this is going to sound a little weird, but I mean, being in a Titan is not necessarily, it's not really a good strategy. Much like the first game, I think a lot of people figured it out. Having your Titan being kind of your buddy along with you is typically smarter play. I find the Titans, to me, seem a little more vulnerable in this game than they do they did in the first.
Yeah, but don't last as long.
they certainly don't seem like they last as long. Now, that could be a sucking, but I'd like to think it's not. I'd like to think that they're just a little more vulnerable. I think the Pilots have a lot more different ways of attacking, and maybe it's just smarter players too, right? Maybe because a lot of people played Titanfall 1, so they kind of get the game mechanics now coming into the second game, so they're a little more savvy on how to take down a Titan.
Yeah. So let's talk game modes. There's a couple of new game modes in this from the first game. The one that was in the beta is Bounty Hunt mode, and I really like this mode. This is quite cool. You'll get some AIs drop, and depending on the level of these AIs, if they're just grunts or specters, you get money awarded for killing these. And in the later rounds, later waves, you get mini titans and you get larger titans, which are AI controlled, and you get quite a big amount of cash for killing these bounties. Yeah. But you're not the only team killing these AIs, are you?
Right, and that was the thing I was just going to point out. Yeah. So much like in the beta, the AI grunts in the bounty game are kind of, I say, neutral in that they're not faction specific. So they're not fighting with you, but they're not fighting for you. And so it's your job just to mow down as many of them as you can. And the other team is coming from the other side, trying to mow down as many of them as they can. Yeah. And it's like they're a third faction fighting on their own. So it presents a little bit of an interesting twist to it all. And I love the notion of getting kills and racking up your money. For every kill you get, you'll get certain money. And then you have to, once the banks, as they call them, open up, they're basically deposit centers throughout the map. Usually three, I think.
No, there's two. I've only seen two.
Only two?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I want to say I saw three this last match.
All right, okay.
Match I played, but
the maps I've played has been two.
Yeah, there's not many of them. Let's just put it that way. And you have to beeline to try and deposit your money, which is basically just getting up next to it and hitting the X or probably square button on the PS4. And it's a pretty quick process of transferring your money into the bank. And that money that you earn is what is going to define whether your team wins or loses.
Yeah, it's the more money you earn, $5,000.
Yeah. Right. So, the key is earning money, not just getting kills per se. And I say that because there's a lot of people will try and camp those bank areas because they know all the players are going to be coming there trying to deposit their money, and so if you kill somebody, well, then they have money on them. I think you take half of their money.
You take 50. You lose 50% to that player. Yeah,
and so that's a tactic I've seen a lot of people doing is trying to camp out those bank areas and then deposit the money pretty quickly. And so you have to be mindful of that. So one kill of a player coming in to try and deposit money could net you $200 if they've been on a great run. Whereas if you just killed one, say, enemy AI, it might only be worth $20. So, the strategy, it behooves you to try and kill enemy pilots because you're definitely going to earn more money. But, it's a fantastic mode. I mean, just the whole thrill of, you've got a ton of money on you. And, you got to get back to the bank, make that deposit. And the whole time of getting to that bank, you're running that risk of if you get killed, you lose half.
When you start building your cash amount up, you start to get quite tense. You're thinking, shit, I can lose a lot of money here. And it's very nerve-wracking waiting for that bank to open and then get into it without being killed.
Yeah. So outside of bounty, they still have attrition that did come back. I know a lot of people were worried attrition wasn't coming back. That game mode is in fact in the game.
Yep.
They have the typical capture the flag mode. Trying to think of what the other new mode is.
It's called Colosseum, and it unlocks at level 4, and you need a ticket or some sort of pass to get into it. I've not played it yet. But apparently it's 1v1, and you can win some big rewards doing it.
Oh, interesting.
So it's a bit like of a mano on mano sort of like 1v1 arena. Yeah. And it only lasts 2.5 minutes, apparently.
Okay, so almost kind of like I'll say For Honor, when we played the beta, they had that 1v1 mode, and I know when I played it, that was pretty intense. So I'm curious to know if this is going to have a similar feel or if it's going to feel really unbalanced. I don't know. Ultimately, I guess getting back on track, Titanfall 2, it is fantastic. It is a really, really good game. I think they did themselves right in terms of what they put out. I know there's a lot of speculation, and Rich, you probably can chime in on this too. Did Titanfall 2 get basically kind of thrown out to the wolves by EA? Did EA use Titanfall 2 in the sense to try and just eat away at what Call of Duty was doing? I know a lot of people are kind of saying it was kind of suicide for Titanfall 2 to come out sandwiched between Battlefield 1 and Call of Duty Infinite Warfare. I don't know. I don't know what to think on that. It certainly was not the best timing in the world. But the game is really good. So it's kind of hard to say, I think it compares very well, at least to what I've played of Call of Duty games in the recent past. And certainly I think it compares to Battlefield 1. But the only thing really I think that sets Battlefield 1 apart from Titanfall 2, obviously the settings, but I mean, the destructibility I think is the big game changer for Battlefield 1 that Titanfall 2 doesn't get. But I'm also kind of glad Titanfall 2 doesn't have destructibility, because with those Titans, it would be impossible to keep that really not from being overpowered. I don't know. Any thoughts?
I think it was probably kind of they knew Battlefield was going to sell massively well, so they weren't really too fussed about that. I think the Titanfall 2 was just a another fuck you to Activision, really. It was like, here you go. Here's another great shooter. Enjoy.
What's all these rumors and speculation about EA not fully supporting Titanfall 2?
Yeah, there's
a lot of conjecture about this.
Yeah, that's where I was kind of going with it. I guess the marketing campaign isn't as robust for Titanfall 2 as it is for Battlefield 1.
There's no EA access discounts or anything, is there?
There's no EA access discount. There's no early access through EA access. Titanfall 2 feels like very much it is being treated as a full third-party game that EA is just helping publish, as opposed to Titanfall 1. It really felt like this was an EA game. You know what I mean? And there's a difference. There's a big difference between that. Titanfall 1 had EA's backing. It had the support of EA. And obviously Microsoft put a lot of marketing money into it as well. So it had a real big push. Whereas this go-round, it's not nearly as big a push.
So one of the things I'm thinking is Respawn want to, and they are doing this time around, want to give all the maps free to all players to keep consistency and not to segregate any players. Now, right. I don't think EA will like that. So I wonder if that's part of the reason there's a bit of animosity between the two.
That's a good point, because I mean, EA definitely still follows that Battlefield season pass model. Call of Duty also still doing that kind of model as well. And Titanfall 2 definitely not doing that.
Yeah, because Titanfall 1, the extra maps, you had to pay for them initially.
Right.
They did become free eventually after about a year, didn't they? But initially, right, you had to pay for them.
Yeah, interesting. I don't know. I honestly don't really – I don't know where to stand on this other than the fact that I think that Titanfall 2, because it's multi-platform now, it is out on the PlayStation 4, it is out on the Xbox One and PC all at the same time, and launching all together.
I just want to say as well, Teflon 12's just put it in the chat. There is a bundle on the Xbox One store now where you can get Battlefield 1 and Titanfall 2 in a bundle for, I think it was £72 on the UK store, which is quite a bargain. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Well. Yeah. Well, I guess we will see. All right. Next month, we'll see how well Battlefield 1 versus Titanfall 2 and Gears of War 4, you know, how all they play out.
The way I look at the multiplayer on these two is, if I want a nice long round and playing with friends, it's going to be Battlefield. Right. With a few friends. If I want a quick couple of rounds and a bit of fast action, and I'm usually solo, then I'll play Titanfall. That's the way I'm looking at it. So,
yeah, no, that's probably about the way I look at it too.
Yeah.
All right, let us move on. I think we've covered all the games we've been playing to death. Let's talk about some news stories that perked up, and then we'll hit the trivia, which is going to be fun this week.
Yeah, we've got some community questions as well before the trivia.
Okay, we'll tackle those as well. Yep. So real fast, so news stories broke this past week. Not a ton of news, like big news. There's one I would consider
a
big story.
Yeah, this was weird. Yeah, this was very strange.
Yeah, so No Man's Sky, you know, we know it's got a troubled history. And there was a tweet that came out from Hello Games, from their Twitter account, said No Man's Sky was a mistake. Now, it was weird because then it was like the tweet was taken down, but it wasn't taken off of their website. And so there was a lot of speculation. Well, maybe it did actually come from them. And then there was an email that came out that said the tweet is from me, but somebody from the team took it down. We have not been coping well. Well, now it's come to light that basically the Hello Games servers got hacked. And so not just their Twitter, but their email server. And so somebody went through a lot of effort. At least that's what they're saying to make them look kind of bad. To me, this is – I would be shocked if a dev came out and said the game was a mistake.
yeah.
I mean, you know, maybe it was a mistake in terms of how they handled some things. Sure. But I still don't think No Man's Sky was a mistake. I just think it wasn't handled very well.
There's a few people who enjoy it. I know Rich has enjoyed his time on it.
Yeah, I thought it was what I was expecting, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so maybe this really isn't such a news story. At the time, it was breaking, so I put it up here, and then there were some updates, so I started getting the updates. I was like, we'll talk about it. But let's move on to this. This is actually probably the biggest news story this past week, and that was Bethesda. Announcing they will no longer give pre-release review copies to the media. So I'm going to read their blog report. They put up a post. It said, with the upcoming launches of Skyrim Special Edition and Dishonored 2, we will continue our policy of sending media review copies one day before release. While we will continue to work with media streamers and YouTubers to support their coverage, both before and after release, we want everyone, including those in the media, to experience our games at the same time. We also understand that some of you want to read reviews before you make your decision. And if that is the case, we encourage you to wait for your favorite reviewers to share their thoughts. So that was a pretty interesting spin. I mean, this is a pretty anti-consumer move. I mean, we all, at some point or another, really rely on reviews, whether it be one reviewer that we trust or a collection of reviews to get a good sense of what the game's shaping up to be. And we're no longer going to get that until really after the game comes out, because if they're saying they're giving these release copies one day in advance, if I see a review coming out of a Bethesda game on day of release, I don't think I'm going to trust it, because clearly they haven't played that much of the game unless they literally stayed up for 24 hours.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really don't know what to make of this. I mean, part of me is like, yeah, okay, I get it. And they cite Doom and they're like, look, it worked great for Doom. Doom was a fantastic game. We didn't give out pre-release games, but I mean, are we just going to say, yeah, okay, that works up until the day that an actual bad game comes out from Bethesda and we get screwed over for it?
I think what they'll find is they'll have less pre-orders and more people waiting for the reviews. So there'll be more sales in the second week than the first week, whereas at the moment, the first week is the peak, isn't it? And then it tails off a bit.
Yeah.
I think they'll find it'll start slow and peak and then go down again.
Well, and ultimately, you know, I mean, you can take whatever they say for, I don't know. I don't take it at face value. I take it as it's a nice spin on them trying to say, look, we know that when reviews come out that are maybe middle of the road and they're early, that impacts pre-orders. And we know, even though we're not giving pre-release games, that by doing this, we're probably going to ensure that there's not going to be a lot of cancellations on our pre-orders prior to its release.
And it's been sort of like mentioned slightly in the Twitch chat as well. A lot of these pre-release copies go to a lot of YouTube reviewers now and Twitch streamers. So a lot of them are streaming the game before it comes out, which can cause a lot of spoiler issues. And people get hold of what's happening and then they'll tweet it, it'll go on Facebook. So it can ruin some games as well, can sort of like releasing review copies early.
But to me, that's on you, the viewer.
Yeah, yeah.
Because listen, if I'm really looking forward to Titanfall 2 and suddenly, you know, Mark shows up or Rich shows up and on their YouTube channel, they're like, hey, I've got early access to Titanfall 2, going to be showing gameplay.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, if I go and watch that and suddenly I feel like the game is being spoiled, well, whose fault is that? That's my own fault for doing it. I mean,
but on the same token, it's like The Walking Dead. If someone tweeted or Facebooked just one little bit of what happened in that episode without you seeing it, you'd be pissed because you can't unsee it.
Fair play. I did get a pivotal moment in Gears of War 3.
Yeah.
Was it Gears of War? Yes, Gears of War 3 was ruined for me.
Yeah.
Mind you, I half expected what was ruined, but it did get ruined, and it was one of those things. I can't unsee it, and I was pissed. But, I mean, this is not – and I guess maybe – I know I kind of poured on Bethesda a little bit. Bethesda is not the only company that's been doing this. We just had this happen with Mafia 3.
Yeah, yeah.
2K released that out. But that's a prime example to me of a situation of the consumer kind of getting the short end of the stick because there was a lot of hype for Mafia 3 leading up to its release. And all of the preview stuff that I saw, I don't think I saw one preview coverage piece that was negative about the game. It was all very glowing and positive. Had me thinking, man, maybe I should be getting Mafia 3. Maybe this is the next GTA 5. You know, maybe it's that good. And then, you know, fortunately held off to find out reviews were very middle of the road. That's not to say it's a bad game, but it's certainly not just at that hype level that I was thinking it would be.
Yeah, a lot of reviewers were saying it's a good game, but can get repetitive. So,
anyway, people in the chat have an opinion on this, and certainly if you see any of that, Mark, let's flag that and talk about it. Other quick little news stories, and these are just quick hitters. We'll roll through these real fast, guys. Street Fighter V sales. They have been sagging. According to Capcom's financial reports, less than 100,000 units were shipped the whole semester. That's from April 1st to September 30th. It shows lifetime-to-date sales are at 1.4 million, which is basically the exact same number they gave back in May.
That's bad.
Yeah. It is not it's not performed terribly well after it launched. And you know, kind of going back to our last story, this is one of those situations where I wonder if the full, you know, people had a better picture of what was going to be happening with Street Fighter V beforehand, before it got released. Maybe those sales would be even worse. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I wonder how much buyer's remorse is happening with people that bought Street Fighter V. Hey, here's a game that nobody has buyer's remorse as of yet. Last Guardian. It's officially gold. It is done.
Wow.
This past week, they said the game has gone gold, which means it's finally finished, ready to ship in December. So they purposely held back Last Guardian until December, but it is done. And if you're excited for Last Guardian, you also can get a vinyl soundtrack that will be releasing as well. So there you go. Lots of Last Guardian happening. And then the last little hitter, Gears of War 4 map DLC. The first downloadable content for Gears of War 4 will be releasing November 1st. So right around the corner, just in time for Extra Life. And this is basically the map rotation that the Coalition said they were going to be doing. So these maps are all free. They're going to rotate on basically, I think, a monthly basis. So two new maps will come in, they'll take two out, and they'll be rotating on a monthly basis. And the first two maps coming out are Checkout and Dry Dock. I guess these are they were first introduced in Gears of War 3.
Gears 3, yeah. Yeah.
So they've been updated. They'll be multiplayer and Horde compatible. Couldn't think of that word for some reason. All right. Questions from the community, Mark.
We've got a few questions from Facebook. Paul Taff Davis Ricks, who is a Taff man, he's asking, what's the scariest game you've ever played? Given it's Halloween weekend, quite appropriate. For me personally, Outlast on the PS4. It was a free game when it launched on the PS Plus, and that made me scream like a girl. And it made my wife jump when I screamed. It made my dog jump. And it was just a freaky fucking game, and I've not finished it yet because I didn't go back to it. So yeah, Outlast for me. All although right. a close second is Condemned on the 360 with the mannequins. Oh, that was scary.
Yeah, man, I forgot about that. That's pretty good. Rich, what about you? Scariest game for you?
Outlast was pretty scary, but I didn't play enough of it because it was so scary to really give a good opinion. Probably Resident Evil 1 remake on the GameCube at the time. That was pretty scary.
Yeah. No, I think I'm kind of there with you guys. Outlast, definitely scary, and probably would be my scariest game had I played through it. I never did. I just dabbled in it. I'm not a big scary game fan. Condemned, I loved, and the mannequin section scared the crap out of me. So yes, I would agree with you, Mark. Yeah. I also thought the original BioShock, there's a moment early on in the game where you go into this room and the lights all shut down and there's splicer nurses, I think, are in there. Mm. That scared the crap out of me. Yeah. And then the only other quote unquote game I would say that was scared the crap out of me and still scares the crap out of me to this day is Fatherhood. But that's a totally different ball of wax.
Yeah, the first Dead Space had a couple of jump scares as well.
Yeah.
One right at the end as well, as the game finishes.
It's funny, though. Dead Space, to me, never was super scary. I think that's one of the reasons why I liked it. It reminded me a lot of Aliens.
Yeah, it's more jump scares than scary. Yeah.
In fact, now that I just said that, Aliens.
Alien Isolation.
Alien Isolation. That was pretty freaky as well. Games that have a lot of ambiance to them and a lot of good sounds, creepy sounds, sound work to them, those always will freak me out.
Yeah. We've got one from Jim Martin, who is Ginge Ninja, and he's put, is it okay that me and my 14-year-old son have been playing Skyrim Remastered all of our waking hours for 2 days? And if you say no, he will find you and go Fusrodar. So this is more for Rich. Is that acceptable, Rich, to play it for that long?
It's not playing it for long enough, to be honest. I'm disappointed.
Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, get cracking, Jim.
Yeah, I would say this. The caveat would be as long as you're not keeping him out of school.
Yeah.
There's plenty of books to read in Skyrim.
Never mind.
Yeah, it's never been mind. School Keep holidays school, this Jim. Week. Yeah, this past week's been school holidays because I've had my nephews up this week.
Okay.
All right, this is for you, Greg. This is from Nick, WombleMK3. And he has put... Has
Don't
Greg,
ask me to say his last name. Don't
has
ask
Greg
me.
Learned how to pronounce people's last names yet?
Some.
Yeah, so... How do you say Nick's surname, Greg?
I still go with Nick Auld.
Close enough, I think. Better than last time. Last time you went, Auld.
Or I could do it. Nick Auld?
Yeah.
Is it Nick Auld?
Auld, yeah. It's from the song Auld Lang Syne. Nicole told you that, and you still went Auld.
I thought it was Auld like old Man's Eye.
Anyway.
So you've probably...
Love been, you, Nick.
You know, yeah. And the last one's from Gary Lever, and it's more of a statement than a question, but this worries me somewhat because he's put, damn, I'm going to miss the show. Be moving my aunt's shit out of my grandma's house all day. First thing I want to know is, why is his aunt shitting in his grandma's house? And then secondly, why is he having to move it?
Yeah, teach that woman some, potty training or whatever.
Proper toilet etiquette.
Yeah.
You can get old people nappies, you know, diapers, as you call them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so apparently he's moving a load of stuff from his auntie's house.
That is the cycle of life, though, right? We start in diapers and we end in diapers.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah,
guys, I swear to God, guys, Skyrim Special Edition is just amazing. I mean, I can't stop playing it. I'm playing it right now. This is the first time I've done a Duke and played a game. I'm only playing it for a sec because I'm just trying out a mod. But
yeah, so that's the Facebook questions for this week.
All right, excellent. I appreciate that. Well, Mark, it's time. I think we can talk trivia.
Right. Oh yeah, that's me again.
Podcast trivia. So this week, I'm not going to be giving the trivia. Mark, it's going to be you. Before we do that, though, Mark, before we dive into telling everybody the different trivia questions, we should give a recap of where we stand on the actual trivia. Right. So right now, believe it or not, Kim Woods in the lead.
What?
8 points.
And she turned down a chance to be on tonight when Nicole turned down a chance to be on. Yeah, when Nicole could make it.
Also, last minute bow out. She is in second place at 7 points.
And Nicole, since when did putting your kids first come before the podcast? Really? Come on. Where's your equipment?
And then here's the other craziness. Mark, you are tied for third with Robin at 6 points each.
Right.
And you opted to give the trivia this week.
Well, I thought I'd give you a chance, Greg.
Yeah, because I'm going to win something out of this. Yes.
Yeah.
So here we have it, the top three, you know, point leaders all absent. And Robin, by the way, is off with some nutty hat on his head watching a hockey game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, that's the top teams. And Rich, where are you at, Rich? Let me see. You have a whopping 1 point, which means, Rich, technically, I might be able to pass you.
Wow.
Right here today. Yeah. Or I will fail miserably. All right, Mark, let's get to it. Trivia time.
Yep. And you should know this if you listen to the podcast what Fraser hosted, Greg. All right, so question one from the wonderful Teflon 12, Jason Johnson. In Stardew Valley, who does the protagonist inherit the farm from? Is it A, his grandfather? B, his father? C, his uncle? Or D, his older brother? So where do you inherit the farm from when you play Stardew Valley? Is it your grandfather? Is it your father, your uncle, or your older brother?
Jason, I don't like you right now.
Let me know how we feel every week.
Yes. All right. So Stardew Valley, do you get it from your grandfather, your father,
grandfather, uncle? Or your older brother. Yeah. You ready to type your answers?
Yeah.
No, not quite. Maybe.
All right. Yeah. 3, 2, 1, go.
I'm going to say...
Right, and you've both given the same answer, which is A, and you've both picked grandfather. And you are both correct. Well done.
Woohoo! Yeah. I remember a game I played.
Yeah.
Nice.
And Greg got a lucky guess.
you know, I had to use some logic there.
Yes, it was your grandfather who gave you the farm. And he put that question in because he knew I was asking the questions and he knew I played that recently. So, Jason Johnson, you... Anyway, question two. According to techtimes.com, which of the following games was streamed the most on Twitch last year? Was it...
The most on Twitch.
Yeah.
All right.
Was it A, Hearthstone? Was it B, Minecraft? Was it C, Counter-Strike Global Offensive? Or was it D, League of Legends?
More of the options again, please.
A, Hearthstone. B, Minecraft. C, Counter-Strike Global Offensive. Or D, League of Legends.
Okay, I'm ready.
You ready, Rich? Right, 3, 2, 1, go. And we've got a difference of opinion.
Right.
We've got...
I would just point out, Rich's answer also was my other... Well, I gravitated between these two games, and I do think it is one of these two games.
Right. Well, you will be pleased to know you both got it wrong. Greg picked Minecraft, and Rich picked Hearthstone. It was League of Legends.
Fuck off. No one plays that game.
That's bullshit.
I must admit that is on Twitch a lot. I thought it might have even been Dota 2.
That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
I think people are just like putting League of Legends up on screen and then just leaving it there for hours on end.
But like Teflon said, that is according to techtimes.com. So if you've got any issues with that, contact them, Greg. Have a word with them.
Webmaster at Tech Times.
Jason Johnson fired.
Yes, that's the trivia for this week.
Awesome.
So you get a point?
Woohoo! I'm on the board.
Yeah.
Rich, you've increased you've kept your lead over me, by the way. Congratulations.
That's in.
And Jason, thank you very much for the trivia as always. Very appreciative. So let's keep going. So events and happenings. Rich, why don't we have you read out the new releases that are coming up, as well as the monthly freebies, because we know because we pay money, we get free games.
The new releases for this week in video games. Yeah, new releases.
Huge.
We've got Owlboy coming out on the personal computer on November 1st. It's real.
Game of the year.
Yeah, Owlboy. We have Football Manager 2017 coming out on the PC. It's a great game every year.
Question. I gotta stop for a second.
Yeah.
Football Manager. So is this like FIFA and Pro Evo, or is this literally boring just managing the soccer team? Sorry, football team.
It's managing, but I think you can... can't you play nowadays? Don't they let you play a match as well?
I don't know. I've never played.
I can't remember. It's mostly just buying players, selling players, you know, doing all that stuff.
That sounds boring as all get out. I mean, that would be like play general manager as for an NFL team.
They actually are fun games, Greg. They actually are pretty fun. Honestly, I don't even like football, and I think they're fun.
Don't believe you.
But anyway, I've got Skyrim put like minimized at the moment, and the Skyrim like theme song's going off in my ears. It's the most epic new releases I've ever done in my life. Anyway, back to new releases. We've got Mario Party Star Rush for the 3DS. We've got Sword Art Online Halo Realization for the PS4 and the PlayStation Vita. And then I think probably the biggest release of the week is obviously Call of Duty Infinite Warfare.
I would say that's platforms. Probably the biggest release.
Yeah, you see that recent advert? Now, because no one's going to take them seriously, because no one's going to take Call of Duty seriously because Battlefield 1's class, they've now put out a jokey advert, haven't they? Seen it?
I've not seen that, no.
No, not yet.
I don't know, it's just not a real advert. It's really weird. It just seems like they're trying to go another direction for now. I don't know.
Oh, wait, you're talking about the... it's their horde mode, the zombie mode for Infinite Warfare. It's in a theme park. It's a carnival theme park, right?
I think that's the one, yeah? Is that the one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's an 80s themed, like, horror movie setting. That's in the game. But yeah, they're kind of pumping that up as being a really big deal this time around.
Yeah, it would have been good if it was 6 months ago, but a couple of days before release, it's like, yeah, they're just trying to make people think, oh, this isn't going to be the same as Titanfall and Battlefield. It's going to be completely different. Well, knobheads, you're wrong, dickhead. I don't know.
All right. What about the free games, Rich? The free games that we pay for.
The free games that we pay for. Free. I like to call them fur-purred games. It rolls off the tongue.
It does.
Let me just. We've got games with gold for Xbox One. We have Super Dungeon Brothers. That's pretty good, isn't it? Isn't that all right?
I've heard
that's pretty good. It's normally $20. Murdered Soul Suspect. Now, does that mean, right, that the suspect is a soul or that there is only one? Who knows? It's free this week. Play it now. Xbox 360 has Monkey Island Special Edition, which was a re-release of Monkey Island, but with, like, special edition things. and this is where shooters can be comedy. Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon.
Yes.
Ace. That's on the Xbox 360, free this week. PlayStation Plus for November 2016 on the PS4. You've got The Deadly Tower of Monsters. You've got Everybody's Gone to the Rapture, which is a Catholic thing. You've got Letter Quest Remastered, Crossby. That's a really weird title. You've got Pumped BMX Plus, also Crossby. Maybe the sequel to Letter Quest.
Yeah, Crossbys are, you're going to get them for PlayStation 4 and maybe PS3 or Vita. So you basically get that game on all those different systems.
Yeah, that's what I meant. I didn't think it was something
It was. I think it was just taking the piss there, Greg.
Yeah.
I'm a little slow.
Yeah. On the PS3, guys, you've got Costume Quest 2. If number one wasn't enough for you, they've got a second one. Dirt 3, which I know sounds like a really bad porno, but it's not. Pumped BMX Plus is on there again from the PS4. On the Vita, if you've still got one and it's not propping up your pumpkin on your ironing board like me, you've got Letter Quest Remastered, also cross-buy, and Pumped BMX, surprise, surprise, also cross-buy.
BMX Plus, Rich. BMX Plus.
Yeah, not BMX, the Plus
right.
one.
Plus. Awesome. All right. Thank you for that, Rich. All right. Mark, you are the club master.
Yep. We've got a few clubs going on at the moment. If you're in the Xbox dashboard preview, you can join the OC Podcast Club, where you can get into the private area of the dashboard and write messages and leave notes and that, and you can set up games and looking for groups. And I can't wait for that to become available to everyone because it's going to be awesome. We have a Forza Horizon 3 club, the OC Podcast Club, which Bongo set up. We're doing quite well on that.
That's kind of it's like over 150 members or something like that.
Yeah, we're doing quite well in the rankings and everything. So if you've got Forza Horizon 3, join our club. And we have a Titanfall 2 network. It's called the OCPC, in mem square bracket things, the Overseas Connection Podcast Network, which Nicole set up in the beta, which all the networks have remained from a beta.
Right,
which is quite interesting.
Over.
Yeah. So
we didn't talk about this. We need to talk about this real quickly.
Yeah.
So the networks in Titanfall 2, it's kind of quirky. It's not the most user-friendly system I've ever seen in my life.
No.
So you have what they call networks, which think of them as just clubs, right? You can join up to different networks in Titanfall 2, which are going to be basically people that you're friends with, that are part of a community, whatever the case may be, and you join a network. And when you go into multiplayer, and you can go to the network area, and you basically make one of your networks active, whichever one you want to make active at that time. And anybody who's part of that network that's online, you can send a match invite out to them, and they'll have, I think it's 10 seconds to accept the invite.
It's not long.
No, it's not very long at all. And it doesn't stay up very long either on the invite, so you can miss it pretty easily. But you can invite them over to your match, and then you guys can play together. Now, a very, very, very important aspect to this. I am 99.9% positive you need to be within at least one or two data centers away from one another in terms of distance in order to be in the same kind of matchmaking area. So while Mark and I were on the same network, when I sent him an invite, I was on a West Coast network, a data center, and Mark was on the London data center.
Yeah.
And if this is sounding confusing, that's okay. It is. so we had to change our data centers to New York. And once we did that, we were able to see one another and invite one another to a game to play together.
I could see your name in the network box.
Yes.
Where all the, but I could, we couldn't see the invites. But when we joined the same data center, we could, which it shouldn't happen like that. You should better just send the invite out to anyone in your network, regardless what data center you're on. And their data centers should all link up internally. We should
you would think that would be the case, but that's not. Yeah. So think of the data centers as like giant server farms.
Yeah.
So you need to be part of the same server farm. Now, where you find the data center is actually on the very front opening credits, you know, menu area.
The very first screen you get.
Very first screen. Once you go into multiplayer, you can't change your data center. You have to do that on the first screen. It's super simple. You just, I think it's X or square.
The blue X button. Yeah.
It'll open up the data center and you can change to a different data center, swap out to one. And you want to keep it under 100 milliseconds. Once you're getting over that, you're going to probably get some pretty bad lag. 100 and under is going to be acceptable. So I find that for the West Coast of the U.S. and the U.K., meeting up in New York seems to be the right mix. Everybody's just under 100 at that point. But it's a quirk, but it's an important thing to note.
I hope that's something they do patch and fix. I'm sure people must have highlighted that in the beta, and they either can't fix it or they're not going to.
Well, I think the problem is that you can't merge the data centers. As much as that sounds like something that would be simple to do, you can't really. If I'm in a different server and you're in a different server, what ultimately we want to see happen is that there's a handshake and it says, hey, you two want to play together. You both need to jump to this data center. And it just moves us automatically to the new data center to play together.
Yeah.
That would be ideal. Yeah. But I don't know how difficult that is. Anyway.
Impossible.
Hey, probably. Victories achieved. That's a thing we do. Victories achieved. It's a contest we run basically every quarter. And it's our way of giving back to the community. Not that this show isn't enough, but we'd like to do a little bit more. So you complete a video game. And once you're done with it, you grab your cell phone. Everybody's got one. Take a Okay, maybe not everybody, but you should, especially if you play video games. You've got a cell phone. You take a picture of yourself with the game in the background, jump onto Twitter, and send it to @OC_podcast and include the hashtag victory achieved, and let us know what game you just beat. And as simple as that is, that enters you into a contest. And that contest is a random draw at the end of each quarter that one person will win $20. Or 15 pounds, and basically it can be there for PSN, Xbox Live, or Steam. So that's it. It's that simple. So just make sure you get yourself in there. We like to see faces. We like to see, put some faces to the gamer tags, that kind of thing. And you could be like these cool people that beat games. Steffi Business, he beat XCOM 2, something I have yet to do. Batch Gaming took out The Darkness 2. Colin for the win finished Virginia. Obligate Failure as well as Teflon 12 both beat Dark Souls games.
Yeah. You nearly.
Obligate Failure beat Dark Souls 2. I wasn't going to screw it up. Yeah. Teflon 12 beat Dark Souls 3. And then going for like the crazy kind of RPG swing, Obligate Failure also beat The Witcher 3 Blood and Wine.
Wow.
Then we saw Amras 89 and Pebbles 91010 beat Gears of War 4. Amras 89 also beat I Am Alive. And then Pilch Reed beat Battlefield 1. And Caliburn M beat Bioshock 2, the remastered version. So fantastic. Well done.
Hot off the press, a tweet has just come in this very second that Nick Auld. Womble has just finished the campaign on Titanfall 2.
Well, there we go. Nick Auld. Well done, Womble. Yeah, Titanfall 2, complete, done. I think that's the first one I've seen for beating Titanfall 2, mm-hmm. which now makes me think that the campaign is right in line with normal Call of Duty campaigns, right around 6, maybe 8 hours. Anyway, congratulations to all of you for beating those games. You are now entered into our Victory's Chief contest. And more importantly, you have just cost Bongo the Sane a lot more money. He has been doing something for the Extra Life event coming up this year. We call it the completion chart, which basically for everybody who completes games in the Victor's Achieve contest, he is matching you. And basically, for every point you get for completing a game, he is going to match that with another dollar. So if it's 328 points, it'll be $328 going to the kiddos. And of course, that's just a really good cause. So complete your games, whether they be long or short. If they're over 4 hours long, you'll get a full point. If they're under 4 hours, you get a half point. And of course, if you are the grand poobah number one game finisher at the end, which is November 5th, just around the corner, you're going to get a custom Overseas Connection t-shirt and a mug with Bongo's face on it.
Yeah.
And right now, Caliburn M was in the lead as of last week, but Amrus89 just finished a few games. I know Caliburn M finished one game. It's getting kind of crazy. Mr. Miyagi is in Adamski 86. They're a distant kind of third place. So I think it's really down to Amrus89 and Caliburn M. How many shit under 4 hour games can they complete before time comes up? All right. I guess we're at that time, guys. Mm. This is it. So we're going to do closing notes here, and then we're going to talk for a little bit about The Walking Dead episode 1. So it'll be a little bit of an extra longer show. Won't be too much, probably about 20 minutes, maybe tops, but, we're going to wrap things up here real fast. Stay on past the end of music because we will talk Walking Dead. If you want to hear that, if you don't want to hear that, this is your warning. Jump off now, get out of the podcast, because it'll be coming. If you want to be part of the conversation on our Twitch feed, every week we broadcast 11 p.m. UK time, 3 p.m. West Coast time, 6 p.m. East Coast time on Saturday on twitch.tv/OC podcast. You can email the podcast, podcast@ocpod.com. I didn't check our emails today. I don't know if you did, Mark, but...
No, I checked the speak pipes, but not the emails.
Yeah. Oops. You can tweet us @OC_podcast. And of course, you can join our Facebook group, which has tons of activity going on, fb.ocpod.com. And lastly, just don't forget about joining the clubs that we have for the podcast, as well as the Xbox One Forza Horizon 3 club and iTunes reviews. That's my last pitch. iTunes reviews, we would love them. We do enjoy getting iTunes reviews, and one of these days we will go back in and look at them and read some of them off. But it really, it's more about just getting us out there to be discovered by other people. That's the important part of it. All right. That's it. This show is done. Mark, roll some end credit music, and then we will come back when the music finishes and talk Walking Dead.
Thank you for listening to the Overseas Connection podcast. Same time next week.
Pissing our pants yet? Boy, do I have a feeling we're getting close.
right. It's Walking Dead time. So episode one of season seven kicked off, and it was, I mean, look, we went into this episode knowing somebody from the cast was dying. We knew that was coming, right? The last season left off with a cliffhanger of Negan, the new evil character, making his appearance. And we knew he picked somebody randomly out of a lineup of most of the Walking Dead kind of crew, the Rick crew, if you will. But he picked somebody. We didn't know who it was. There's a lot of speculation. A lot of people were talking about, you know, comparing it to the comics and what had gone on there. But nobody really knew, because one thing that the directors of The Walking Dead have been pretty good about so far is they do make some deviations. Everything is not, you know, word for word, segment to segment, the same as the comic series. So you don't necessarily always know when something's going to happen. So that's kind of how we were coming into this episode. I don't know if anybody wants to say anything else before we just get into...
I'll just say that the whole episode was on the edge of your seat, tense, and, oh my God, did that just happen? And it was, I think, the best episode ever.
That's a bold statement, Mr. Wright. I would like to say that I really wasn't expecting Jon Snow. North of the wall. Send a raven. Not much of a fighter. Right. It was great. And the whole time I was thinking, when is Rick going to kill Negan? Because I thought that's what they were going to do in that episode. Yeah, that would have been a big thing. If they built up and then killed him, that would have been great.
The beginning, they kept you hanging, didn't they? They didn't show you for till the first sort of like commercial break. They really kept you hanging.
Yeah.
Right. So it starts off, we see Negan. He is once again talking to everybody out there, and he's basically saying, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo. He's going to pick the person that's going to die. And we see, you know, some great filming technique of, you know, kind of the bat coming in front of everybody. So they have the bat, you know, showing in front of their face. And they literally walk it through everybody. And one of the interesting things I found out is that apparently they recorded death scenes for everybody in some fashion or another. So this way, if something were to leak out, it you couldn't leak out. I guess they were just trying to throw people off.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to put it.
It's weird. EastEnders did the same thing with Who Shot Phil.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
15 years ago or whatever. They basically, it was one of three people shot Phil Mitchell in this like British soap opera. And they just filmed all three of them shooting him so that if it leaked, because they always leak, no one would have to know for sure if it was...
and they could always change it as well.
Yeah.
And that was what actually happened here. So, and I don't know if they leaked it out. That's actually one of the things I was kind of thinking about. If they leaked it out or if what happened. But the filming of Maggie's death.
Yeah.
Was leaked out.
Yeah.
And so everybody was like, oh my God, Maggie died. Maggie died. She did not die. Yeah. So we get into the episode. I guess maybe we should kind of follow it properly. Negan basically has killed at least one person. And he drags Rick into this van because Rick is basically telling him he's going to kill him at some point. He's being defiant. Mm-hmm. And Negan is now seeking to make his point. Negan is basically, you know, he is now going to break Rick. That's his sole purpose. Every action from this point forward in this episode is all about breaking Rick, the leader of this group, and getting him to succumb to Negan and become his
Negan. Yeah, Negan looks in his eyes and he doesn't want to see look what Rick's giving him, which is where he wants to kill him. He wants to see a different look in his eyes. So that's when he takes him away.
So you know, we go through a interesting back and forth dialogue between Negan and Rick, mostly Negan talking to Rick, mind you. And he takes them out into a foggy area in their Winnebago van with an axe. And, you know, I'm skipping through some of this because I think, you know, we can get to the meaty bits of this, if you will. Yeah. But he throws the axe up onto the top of the Winnebago. And mind you, the Winnebago now is surrounded by zombies.
No, he throws it out into the where the horde is.
No, he threw it up on top of the Winnebago.
Because Rick had to go get it, didn't he?
Exactly. He throws it up on top of the Winnebago, and he tells Rick to go get the axe. So the axe is sitting up on top of the Winnebago. Rick has to get to the back of the Winnebago where there's a ladder to get to the axe. And in essence, Negan, basically, you're going to throw yourself in harm's way to get the axe for me because it's my axe and I'm telling you to do it.
Yeah.
But this was Rick's reflection time, because one of the things Negan says to Rick right before doing this is, I want you to think about what did happen, what could happen, and what will happen. And basically, those are his threats to Rick of saying, think about what all just went down, and think about who's left that hasn't died. And as you get into Rick getting away from the zombies and getting up onto the top of the Winnebago, he stops and starts thinking about everything that happened. And that's when we actually learn who actually died, because Rick starts going to the flashback
mode. Yeah, he's flashbacking into what just happened like 10 minutes before. Yeah.
Right. So this was the big moment. So we do the flashback and we see everybody in the line. You know, it's worth noting, as you looked at everybody in the line, and they talked about this in the Talking Dead show after the main episode, but Abraham was the one character that basically sat defiant to Negan.
Yeah, it's all right. Eye contact, and he sort of
right.
like just put his chest
back
out
down to you. Yeah. You know, as you think back on it, it makes sense that he was the choice to be killed.
Yeah. You can put the biggest guy out, aren't you?
See, when I watched the last episode, I kind of figured it might be Abraham, because he was like that back then, you know, because that's what he is. He's a, you know, suck my dick type of guy.
He's a soldier, isn't he? He's a,
yeah, like, so he was doing that, and then in the last episode when Negan smacks the person and then they get back up, I thought, that's got to be Abraham. Only Abraham could do that. I mean, we saw, you know, in the other death that person did it as well, but, you know, I thought, oh, it's got to be Abraham, but I was gutted because I didn't want it to be Abraham.
Well, and that was the interesting thing about it, because, so... you know, this is further spoilery, if you will. So the comic book talked about who was dying in this scene when you meet Negan, and it was not Abraham. Abraham in the comics actually died like two books back.
Yeah.
And was killed prior to this.
He actually died in the episode where the doctor lady from the town gets shot in the eye by the arrow.
Right.
That's how he dies in the comics.
Right. So the writers have gone off script at this point. They're doing things differently. So what happened in the comic book, I was expecting to happen. Mm. And so Abraham getting killed was definitely not what happened in the comic book. So I suddenly thought, oh my God, well, one, they killed Abraham. That sucks. But oh, wow.
Yeah.
So-and-so didn't die.
You sort of like, not relieved, total, but you think, oh.
Yeah, a bit of relief, relief.
Because it's other person that you're quite attached to, because they've been in it for a long, long time.
And then Daryl gets up and punches Negan, which that sets Negan off again.
Yeah.
Basically, he tells the group, you know, that's not how this works. I told you I'd give you one free, and I don't remember what the free one was, but I think he got hit before.
Yeah. I think it was Rick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it might have been.
I can't remember,
And so, and he said, but this is going to cost you.
Mm.
And as he's saying this, he's standing right in front of Glenn.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
They're going to kill Glenn, too. And sure enough, he just lays into Glenn.
And there's no transition between the thing. You see Glenn sort of, and he turns around and just whacks straight on Glenn's head, and he drops him. It looks so real. And then Glenn gets back up, and he's hit him that hard that his left eye's popped out a bit. His head split open and blood spewing out.
His brain's exposed.
It was nasty.
And at this point, I'm looking at the screen going, no!
Yeah. And at this point, it's just like, holy crap. I mean, you're suddenly thinking about Maggie. She's sitting there watching her husband being beaten to death.
And she's pregnant.
She's pregnant, right.
Holy.
With Negan's baby.
Right. And let's not forget also, you know, we kind of glossed over Abraham having both of his former and current new love interests watching him being beaten to death.
Yeah.
So this is just emotionally just wrecking everybody. Mm. So Glenn dies. I think we are all just shattered at this point.
Shattered,
however you want to look at it. And then it just ups itself because Rick is still in that frame of mind of I'm going to kill you, right? We're back now to where the episode started, which is Negan looking at Rick being like, you know, you don't have that look in your eye. And then we kind of jump back to I believe the episode then takes us back into real time where Rick and Negan have kind of settled in. Like Rick has done the bidding of Negan begrudgingly. He got the axe for him. They come back to the line of everybody. They get out of the Winnebago. And Negan more or less says, I'm not satisfied with how you're acting towards Rick. I mean, he's, you know, you still have the look in your eye of a person that's going to be a problem.
Yeah.
And at this point you're like, oh shit. And what was funny or not so funny, when Rick was reflecting, you see actually all those episodes, the filming of everybody getting whacked or killed by Negan with the bat.
Mm.
You do see that flash in his eyes.
Yeah, you did. I forgot about that.
And that threw me off because I thought for a second, holy crap, did Negan literally just kill everybody?
Yeah, he killed everyone. Yeah.
Because you never saw any of the cast members at that point. But it turns out that was Rick thinking about what could be.
Yeah.
And so they get out. And at this point, I know I was thinking, oh, dear God, he's going to kill somebody else.
Yeah.
And it's like, Rick, you need to calm down. And, of course, Sasha, I believe, or Michonne. Michonne, I think, is the one that says,
we understand, we get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because this time, Negan orders all his men to put a gun at the back of everyone's heads.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was pretty convinced somebody else was going to die at that point. I don't know. Rich, were you at that point thinking, I don't know if you had any insight into this prior to, any spoilers given to you?
No, but I thought he was going to go after I honestly thought he was going to kill Carl. I thought that they'd go that far.
Right. Well,
In the last season we saw kids be ripped apart, so I thought, you know, no holds barred now, anything can happen.
Yeah, and it's interesting you bring up Carl because that's kind of where he goes, right? He looks at Rick and he realizes there's only one person he knows for sure is going to impact Rick, and that is his son, Carl.
Yeah.
And so he grabs Carl, brings him over to Rick, and this was just – this is where, to me, the episode just notched up another level of craziness because he takes the axe that he had already told Rick, this is my axe. You know, you had it before. It's my property now, just like every one of you are my property now.
Well, first he gets Trevor from GTA to throw him a pen.
Oh, yes, that's right.
He draws a line on Carl's left arm. He asks him if he's a lefty or a righty, a southpaw, and he draws a line on his left arm.
Yes.
And then he picks Axel.
As soon as he did that, I'm like, oh,
yeah.
He loses his arm. That's a cut line.
Yeah.
And then probably one of the great moments in the episode, not that there weren't already a ton, but he turns to Rick and he's, you know, Rick's like, you don't need to cut his arm off. Yeah, you don't need to cut his arm off.
You don't need to do this,
And so I'm not doing shit.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah.
And that is when everything just turns on Rick. At that point, all his power is just completely sapped out of him. And, and Rick realizes, I you know, I need to do whatever he wants because this man is just evil.
Mm-hmm. And he starts sobbing and saying, please don't, please don't. A big snot bubble
eruption. Oh, I saw that.
Oh, yeah. That was nasty.
Method acting.
Yeah, and then Negan turns around and says, do I have to fucking count down for you? And he starts counting from 3 to 1. And he says, if you don't chop off Carl's arm, every one of them in front of you is going to get their heads blown out. And he tells all the guys to make sure they shoot at the angle where the bullet will come out of the nose and splatter Rick with all their brains. Mm-hmm. Rick, so like reluctantly, shaking like fuck, picks the axe up.
And right, and Carl at this point, pretty interestingly, Carl like shows his leadership skills, and he's just like, "I get it, do it, Dad, just do it."
Yeah, he's holding the axe, and you can see that there's no way Rick's going to do it. And then Carl says, "Just do it, just do it."
Right,
he don't want anyone else to die.
Yeah, because there was a moment there where I thought to myself, "Rick isn't going to be able to do this." There was a moment, even despite the stakes being so high, there was a moment where I thought Rick wouldn't do it. I think it only was because Carl said, just do it, Dad.
I thought the same, yeah. And then it got to the point where Rick had the arm raised fully up with the axe.
Mm.
And then...
Negan stops him, Negan stops him and basically is like, looks at him in the eye. And Rick is just a freaking mess at this point, right? Rick, I mean, and any one of us would be this way, right? Yeah. I can't imagine being in that situation. But Rick is defeated. He absolutely is just a blubbering idiot at this point, just sobbing. And Negan has won. And so
that's when he says, that's the look I wanted.
Right.
That's the look.
Right.
Yeah.
And at that point, Negan says, you know, basically, I'll be coming to get my payment. You guys are going to get me stuff. And literally, they just leave the entire group just sitting there.
Yeah. And that's when the aftermath comes in. They just start looking at each other, and you can see the despair.
Right.
They get up and start consoling each other. They also, like, huddle around Maggie and the other two girls. And it shows you Carl hugging Maggie, doesn't it?
Right. Well, and Maggie... Also, interestingly enough, again, emerging a little bit as a leader.
Yep.
I mean, she's like,
we have to fight. We have to kill. I want to kill him. We have to fight. And she was willing to go alone as well, wasn't she?
Right. Well, at this point, she's got nothing to lose, right?
No.
Everything has been taken from her. She has to be the least lucky survivor I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, everybody makes a comment about don't fall in love with Rick. Because, you know, you die if you're with Rick. No, it's Maggie, man. That chick is...
She's lost... In the episodes we've seen, she's lost two sisters, hasn't she?
Right, two sisters.
Her dad lost a leg, and then he got his head neck chopped and axed by the governor.
Mm-hmm.
Man, she's been so lucky. Yeah, man, and now Glenn.
Yeah.
And she could still lose a baby because she's... The reason they're out there in the woods when they got captured was because they were trying to get Maggie to the hilltop to see a doctor because she's seriously ill with the pregnancy.
I know, this is why I say don't have sex.
That's why. Are you sure you were wanting to make pancakes when you mixed a bisquick?
And it probably also needs to be noted that on top of Negan kind of breaking Rick and getting him that look, one of the other things he did do I forgot about until we were talking about just now, is they take Daryl.
Oh, yeah.
And Daryl, Daryl is collateral that they will keep Daryl alive and hold him, but that Rick has to do his bidding. And the moment he doesn't do his bidding, Daryl is dead.
Yeah.
And basically he said he'll ship him back in pieces to Rick if he doesn't. And at this point, of course, you're like, yeah, he will. You better follow him.
The way I look at it is, if Negan would have known that Michonne was in a relationship with Rick, I reckon he'd have picked her. He'd have taken her, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Because with Rick loving her, being in love with her. But obviously Negan wasn't to know that. And Daryl was a good choice to take. Because did you see the talking head afterwards when... when Negan, the actor Jeffrey Dean Morgan came out, and he sort of like turned around to Norman Reedus and says, it's your fault Glenn got killed.
right. Yeah. And to be honest, it kind of is.
Yeah.
Do you know what the thing is now?
Because Daryl's not even in the comics, is he?
No, he's the wild card.
See, Rick's lost now. Rick's lost Abraham. Who was his soldier. He's lost Glenn, who was his right-hand guy from the beginning.
Very first episode where he's in that tank.
Yeah.
He went, hey, you dumbass.
Hey, you dumbass.
Yeah.
I deliver pizza. Hey, I might have been in Breaking Bad. So he's got them, but now he's taken Daryl, which leaves Rick with basically no one. It leaves him with just the women, and I'm not saying that like, oh, it's just the women, but... Like, Daryl tracks, he does the hunting stuff.
Right.
Glenn was like a, get-out-of-jail-free card, wasn't he? He was a bit of a genius with that sort of stuff. And Abraham was the soldier. It's now left him with Eugene, who's just Eugene. I mean, he brought himself up in the last season. He was able to make bullets.
Bit,
yeah, but it's still Eugene. You've got the other guy who's the tracker fella, but he's not really much use. Yeah. You've got Michonne, who's just fucking nuts. Maggie, who's pregnant, so shouldn't even be out and about. And then the two women who were sleeping with Abraham, who were now distraught. One who was really fit, and the other one who's boring and has already lost a boyfriend before anyway. Bob.
Let's not forget, though, he does have two wild cards, which is Morgan.
Yeah.
And the ultimate killing machine, Carol. Yes.
The first thing I thought after that episode was... When Carol finds out about this, she's going to go fucking straight hunting Negan down. And it's going to be Carol versus Negan. That is going to be the finale of season 7.
I completely forgot. If he's got Carol right, she outweighs the loss that they've already had, I think, on her own. Because she's a mighty beast, isn't she?
In the last season, she took on a full gang of raiders, bandits, didn't she? And she got shot to fucking shit, and she's still fucking with us.
And in the one before that, she killed all those people at Terminus.
She saved them all being bacon sandwiches, didn't she?
Yeah.
She's not a brute force weapon. She's a surgical weapon.
And,
that's the way I look at it.
And she bakes cookies. I mean...
Yeah.
And she bakes cookies, yes.
For frightened small children, you're going to get eaten and you're going to die.
I still say she's responsible for killing that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That kid was annoying, though. It is going to be really interesting to see how they move this forward now. There's also...
There's one of us in you, there's the a new kingdom. Area coming up, isn't there?
Right.
Yeah, kingdom. Yeah. King we see Aziel or something.
Yeah. I don't know what to... I literally know nothing about it, so...
Is that where Morgan's taken Carol to get better?
Yes. So we got the sneak peek of that.
Yeah, so they will link up with Alexandria then, you reckon?
I would assume. And then my understanding is the kingdom is at odds with Negan's group.
With Negan, yeah. Because they must be supplying them because they'll have done the same to them, won't they?
Right.
Yeah.
So
the Hilltop was supplying Negan's guys because they said, if you take out Negan, we'll supply you instead, didn't they?
Right.
And that's when Rick went into that site and took out all his men, thinking he killed Negan, but... Nope. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he didn't realize Negan had like 200 soldiers, 40 trucks, and like unlimited ammo and weapons. He thought it was just these like 10 guys. Plus, they thought Daryl killed half the gang on the road. when that was just a product. That was probably just a fucking exploratory force. That wasn't, anything.
Yeah, when we were in that fuel truck. Oh,
that was boss. That was amazing.
For all of the motorbikes.
Yeah, so good. So, that's what I mean, right? So in that episode, like, that was a massive threat. I was thinking watching that episode, oh, here we go. It's going to be these bikers. It's going to go on for 10 episodes. Daryl just blows them up. I honestly thought in this episode, the build-up to Negan, the fact he's killed some people, I thought Rick was going to kill him in the van, and it was going to end on, what the hell does Rick do now? That, yeah. I think that would have been pretty cool, but I like the way they're going now.
Yeah, I think the other interesting thing that's happening, which, you know, it's something I've always kind of thought about with The Walking Dead, and we've had hints of it in previous episodes, and that is, you know, this we have this notion of Rick and the group are the good guys, right? Mm. We're the good guys. You know, we're following the good guys. But, I mean, if you think about it, Rick and crew go and just, I mean, they assassinate a bunch of Negan's guys, all because the Hilltop people told them they're bad. We didn't really know if Negan's guys were really bad at that point when they first encountered them. All we had was a guy coming to the Hilltop, basically trying to take out the Hilltop leader. He was a former Hilltop person. He was doing it because, you know, he was being forced to by Negan, or so he claimed. Mm-hmm. And that was all we really knew of them. So, I mean, it is interesting when you start to look at it. It's like Rick just decided on face value of the Hilltop people telling him they're bad guys to go and just kill them. What if, you know, I mean, you could make the argument of, well, maybe the Hilltop people are actually the bad guys, you know, and they just wanted to take out their competition.
And Negan's looking after his men family, and he sees himself as a supply. Yeah, he's supplying his people with food and things to do, and he's his version of Rick. Yeah,
they all look clean. They all look well fed. You know, they're not. They don't look like the bloody. I don't even know. Those weirdos from the last season. You know, with the letter on the head.
Oh yeah,
the wolves.
They don't look like them. Yeah. You know, they look well fed. They look, you know, bloody the guy from GTA 5 has never looked better.
Yeah.
Honestly, so maybe, you know, it's all about relativity, isn't it? It's all about perspective. Negan is a bit nuts, but we've seen Rick beat a guy to death with a fucking whatever.
He's killed people with his bare hands before now.
Yeah, right. Maybe Negan isn't actually a bad guy. He's just being this way because he's protecting his group. Because all he sees is these guys with all these guns just turned up on his folks, tried to kill him, and then, like, are now enemies.
Right.
It's all about perspective.
I think Negan is a little evil just based on the way he dealt with the group this go-around.
Yeah.
You don't beat somebody to death with a bat if you don't have a little bit of an evil streak to you. But at the end of the day, I think you could really make the argument that Rick's group and Negan's group aren't all that different, that they really are more similar than they are different. And that's, I think, what I like about The Walking Dead in general. I mean, there are so many gray areas, when it comes to survival and facing this, you know, not facing a zombie horde, but just facing impossible odds and what you would do to survive. And how, you know, it speaks volumes about us as a civilization.
Do you know, there's only really one good guy in The Walking Dead, I think. And that's Morgan, really. I think everything else that we've seen is just different levels of bad people. Do you know what I mean? There is no such thing as good anymore. There's just less bad and worse bad.
Glenn, I think, was actually probably the purest. Morgan, actually, if you think back, Morgan went through a period where he lost it.
Yeah,
went a little crazy.
When he was in the
killing
cage
people
and all that. Yeah,
at random. Yeah. So, I think Glenn really was probably the most good-hearted, sane perspective. Gone now.
He was, like, looking back now. He was kind of like the angel on Rick's shoulder, wasn't he?
Right.
Yeah.
He was the moral compass a lot of the time. For Rick.
Yep.
You know, for a time it was Daryl, but then for a while it's always been Glenn. You know, Rick, we can't do this. This is terrible or whatever. And he'd be like, Coral! Or whatever. But yeah, now Glenn's gone. You know, who's going to be the moral compass? Michonne? With the sword?
She has tried to be a bit of the moral compass of late. You know, once they got to the Alexandria, she seemed to be taking on kind of more that we need to fit in. We need to settle. Now I'm trying to remember. I don't remember if she was against going at the group as well, but I don't know. This is painted. I mean, this episode started off with such a huge bang. I cannot wait for tomorrow night and seeing the next episode. I know you guys are going to be anxiously waiting for it on Monday night.
Monday night, yeah. The whole of Monday, last Monday, I avoided Facebook, Twitter. I just did not want that episode spoiled at all, because it's obviously so one of them is going to die from where they left it the last season. And just avoiding spoilers on that Monday was horrendous. Everything I did, I had to make sure there was no Walking Dead information at all.
Yep.
Just go on Pornhub. They don't spoil anything.
Right. That's the safest place you can go.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we can wrap this up. Any comments you guys want to make before we sign off? Rich, any last thoughts on The Walking Dead before we go?
Yeah, I want to just throw this out there. I don't think Negan will die this season. I think it'll be like the governor.
Yeah, that's a... All right, let's go there. Mark, do you think Negan dies this season?
I think Negan's going to be in it for a long time. I think the whole dynamic is going to change now. I don't think it's going to be anything like we've seen before. It's going to be a completely new direction.
Hmm. Yeah. I'm kind of with you guys.
I might even throw a curveball in and say we might even lose Rick at some stage, and it'll all be about Negan.
I think that actually is – that I think happens this season.
Mm.
I think we do see a changing of the guard.
Yep.
I think Negan's here to stay. One character I'm super curious to hear about, because I think – and this is just based off one of the interviews from The Talking Dead. They were talking about the character Jesus.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
And he was, I guess, they were interviewing him, and he was talking about how he couldn't wait to kind of show off some of his combat skills.
Yeah.
Which led me to believe, I think he's going to take a bigger role. I'm assuming a bigger role based on that in this season. But, it'll be really interesting to see, what the kingdom is all about. I mean, there's lots to look forward to. I'm kind of with you. I think Rick may be on his last season. Now, that could be the season finale this year.
Yeah.
So. Mm. All right. Well, that's it. That is our podcast done. Spoilers done. Thank you if you've stuck around listening to this. We appreciate you, all your time and your efforts to listen to us week in and week out. Follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/OC podcast. Follow us on Twitter @OC_podcast. And catch us on iTunes when you can. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks a lot.
See ya.
Ah!